Welcome to the Real Estate Guys Radio Show. I'm your host, Robert Helms. Thanks for tuning into the show. You picked a great week because it is our final show in the series called Profitable Niches. For the last many, many weeks, we've been looking at lots of different ways that you can invest in real estate. And we're going to end with the niche many folks thought we would start with, single-family rental homes, today on the Real Estate Guys Radio Program.
If you love real estate and have always wanted to own your own business, listen up. The Real Estate Guys and their panel of experts want to teach you how to go full-time fast in the real estate syndication business. These next few years may go down in history as one of the best times ever to acquire investment real estate. There are deals everywhere if you know where to look and how to assemble the resources. The Secrets of Successful Syndication Seminar will show you how to make big money doing big deals from a team of experts that have syndicated projects totaling more than $1 billion. Don't wait for someone to give you a raise or create a job for you. Attend the Secrets of Successful Syndication and learn how to build a team, raise capital, find deals, and make full-time money in 6 months or less. Go to realestateguysradio.com and click on events. All the big players use syndication as a way to diversify risk, optimize profits, and earn big money. You can too. Go to realestateguysradio.com and click on events.
Memphis is famous for being the home of the king of rock and roll, but it's also the king of cash flow. If you're looking for affordable cash flow properties, it's hard to beat Memphis. Get your portfolio rocking and more cash flowing your way by calling Terry Kerr at Mid-South Home Buyers. Terry's the king of turnkey properties. Contact Terry through the resource section at realestateguysradio.com. And be sure to order Terry's Tips for Turnkey Rental Property Investing Report. It's free. Just send your request to turnkey@realestateguysradio.com. Welcome to the Real Estate Guys Radio Program. I'm your host, Robert Helms. With me, as usual, it's our financial strategist and co-host, Russell Gray.
Hey, Robert.
We are just getting near the end of this amazing series on profitable niches. We've taken week after week here of the show and talked about a specific part of the real estate world that you might consider investing. And today, we're going to wrap it up with what is arguably the bread and butter of real estate investing. Single family homes.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this is, you'd think if you're going to do a series on niches, it'd be the first one you start with. But in a lot of ways, it's ubiquitous, right? I mean, everybody, you watch TV and it's flip this house. It's not flip this apartment building or flip this mobile home park. It's flip this house. And my wife is addicted to HGTV and she watches all the shows and she just is into it. And a lot of people are. You know, when I first got interested in real estate, it never even occurred to me there was anything else besides single family homes. To me, real estate was housing.
Of course.
When you watch financial mainstream TV, all they talk about is the housing market and they talk about what's going on in housing. Housing and home builders, and they talk about it from the standpoint of stocks. You know, one of the things we say here all the time is that even though people talk about real estate and mainstream financial media, they're not talking to real estate investors.
Right.
To them, real estate is the home you buy in. The investment is your long-term retirement play. You buy a property, you build up equity over time in market A, and then you move to cheap market B and have a nice lifestyle and a nice retirement. And that formula still works. It still works great. Of course, along the way, you can buy a lot more than one house. You can buy the house next door, the house across the street, the house across the state, the house across the country, and then you put tenants in them and let them pay them down over time and take advantage of the tax benefits and all that. So single family homes are easy because people understand them. Almost everybody's lived in one. Almost everybody knows what one is, how it works. They understand the basic business model, the appeal. There's not a lot of training that's necessary to be successful in single family home investing.
And for the vast majority of investors, that is where they start because of those reasons. Now, my mentor Jim Rohn said you should teach kids that they should have a bike to ride and a bike to rent. And it's the same thing when you get into your real life, you ought to have a house to live in and a house to rent out. And nothing says you should stop at one. You know, Robert Kiyosaki says that if you only own one house and you live in it, then you're pretty selfish. If you own a whole bunch of houses and you allow other people to live in them, that makes you generous. That's such an interesting perspective because the term landlord isn't always met with, hey, that's a generous person. We think about the slumlord or the guy that doesn't take good care of his tenants. In reality, your tenants are your business. And a big part of single family investing and really any type of investing is management. And the great news when it comes to single family homes is there are more single family home property managers than there are any other property manager on earth.
Yeah. And the other thing about it is it's really probably realistic of all the different types of real estate you could own, that if you did have to step in and self-manage, it's going to be the easiest one for you to pick up the ball and do. And it's going to be the easiest one for you to understand. There's a lot of reasons why single family home investing can make a lot of sense, not the least of which is how easy it is to get financing. I mean, even at the time when financing had dried up largely, and of course it's come back tremendously, but single family homes is always a political priority. It's always a business priority. You got Fannie and Freddie basically subsidizing. There's a lot of political incentive to make financing available for housing. And that's all types of housing. You know, people think, oh yeah, but you know, the subsidies are only really targeted for first time home buyers. Well, that's not completely true. You know, if you're operating in the residential 1-4 space, you are providing housing, to your point earlier, you know, Kiyosaki's comment about, you know, having more than one house, they're incentivizing you through tax breaks and subsidized lending to create houses for people to live in. They're much more motivated to do that than to help you build a strip mall or to build a shopping center or a parking lot. I mean, yes, the communities need all those other types of real estate too, but there's enough financial incentives, and those people don't vote. Right. So the people that the government is kind of sucking up to and trying to help get to are the voters. Well, the voters are your tenants. And so you can get in the line and be a partner with the federal government in terms of taking advantage of some of the incentives in single family homes, probably more so than any other area except possibly apartments. You know, that's apartments are right up there, too.
Well, when you're providing housing, there's a lot of different needs that real estate can provide, right? You can have, we talked a couple of weeks ago about in lifestyle investing, resort property, industrial property. We've talked about mobile home parks, all these different niches. But at its core, housing is an essential need. It's the big difference about investing in anything else and investing in real estate is nobody can sit out the real estate market economically.
Right.
You don't have to ever buy a property, but you're going to interact economically with real estate. You're going to pay rent. You're going to pay to vacation. You're going to lease an office. You're going to interact with real estate financially. And you can be on the beneficiary side of that. And single family homes are the bread and butter. I remember several years back when Warren Buffett came out.
Yeah, I was just thinking that.
And said, if I could, I would go buy 200,000 single family houses. And people went, well, wait a minute, why can't he? And that's part of the key to single family. The reason he can't is because the market is not as efficient as other markets.
Yeah, and that, I mean, that's a huge advantage, right? I mean, if you're a small mom and pop player and you want to get started in real estate investing, or even if you are a fairly big player, I mean, there are companies, Blackstone got involved in a big way. Many companies got involved in buying real estate in a big way, but they also suffered a little bit because of the inefficiencies. They had to buy in bulk. They couldn't cherry pick because it is inefficient to do in mass.
Right.
And that was Buffett's comment. But that very same inefficiency that makes it difficult for him makes it profitable for the small investor who can go in and find that unique property, that unique ownership situation, that unique segment of the marketplace or neighborhood where there is an extra opportunity. Because unlike a stock or a bond or a lot of these things are traded on public exchanges where you've got complete visibility, every buyer all across the world can see it all at the same time and bid if they want to. Many times properties come on the market, there's only a handful of people that ever know that property is available, and even fewer that actually get involved in negotiating a deal. I mean, yes, it seems crowded. Oh my God, I went and put an offer in on this house and there were five other bids. Well, in a stock, when you go, there's thousands of other bids. There's yes. Millions of other bids. And so it's very hard to get a quote-unquote deal. It is always possible in real estate, especially single-family homes, to get deals because you're not competing against big guys who are buying indiscriminately. Even when you were, they were making mistakes. They were overbidding, and you had to wait that out. But you could find deals when you dealt to deal with some of the fallout of some of that. So anyway, long story short is that single-family homes are unique because they're inherently inefficient. They're extremely popular. They're easy to understand. They're everywhere, and there's all kinds of support, both politically and financially, and from a tax point of view, to be able to invest in them.
If you listen to Real Estate Guys for a while, you know that we think of investing like this. You start at the top with what we call your personal investment philosophy, who you are as a real estate investor. Once you've figured that out and save that for another day, then you have to find a market or real estate markets that are going to be able to deliver the kind of investment that you've selected makes sense for you. Once you find a market or markets, now you've got to put a team together, your brokers, lenders, property managers, attorneys, CPAs, all those folks. And then finally, you find a property to buy.
Right.
And the property is arguably the most interchangeable and least interesting part of it. Without the property, there's no performance, so you have to buy a property. But if you don't think about these things, then you're going to have a problem property. Well, I always say there's no real problem properties. There's only problem ownerships.
Right.
Right. As Jim Carrey said in The Grinch, one man's toxic sludge is another man's potpourri. Right. So finding a great deal might be ugly to somebody else. But here's what's important when we think about single family. It isn't the house. It's the market. First, it's who are you? Do I want to be in the rough neighborhoods where I do a lot of rehab and there's drive-by shootings? And there's reasons to do that, right? There's money to be made there. Or am I more of the clip-it-and-forget-it kind of investor? So you got to figure out who you are. And then you've got to find a market. And not all markets are the same. We're going to talk today about some strong rental markets when it comes to single-family homes. But it's a big landscape and a big world. And we have listeners in more than 190 countries. So whatever country you're in, there are areas that make better sense from an investment point of view in single family than to live. I always say live where you want to live and invest where the numbers make sense. So when we think single family homes, a lot of single family homes make zero sense economically. The big mansion on the hill is not going to make economic sense, even if I find a rich guy that wants to rent it. When that guy moves out, who's going to move in? And the numbers aren't going to work. So there's a lot you need to learn. But at the same time, there's a lot of great information about there. So we've got a guest today who has been a real estate broker for many years and helps primarily investors. She's not what we call a house mouse, someone that helps people sell their home. Nothing wrong with that. We need a lot of those kind of real estate professionals. But she's a gal that works with real estate investors from all over the world. You'll meet her when we come back. You're tuned to the Real Estate Guys radio program. I'm your host, Robert Helms.
Real estate investment advice right in your mailbox. Sign up for the free Real Estate Guys newsletter at realestateguysradio.com.
Did you know that industrial real estate is one of the most desired and highest return asset classes in the U.S. today? E-commerce warehousing, distribution, server centers, construction, and automated manufacturing are just a few of the businesses increasing the demands for industrial properties. And you can invest in commercial properties for as little as $50,000 by utilizing experienced syndicators with the track record and experience to locate, negotiate, vet, and manage the best products in the best markets. Wilson Investment Properties is a national syndicator headquartered in Silicon Valley with a long, successful track record of investment real estate and commercial syndications. The Cincinnati Industrial Portfolio is an offering with 17% projected average annual returns and available while shares last. Email commercial at realestateguysradio.com for more information and private placement memorandum on this investment and for your free white paper on commercial real estate. Again, email commercial at realestateguysradio.com.
Imagine listening in as two real-world apartment investing experts share their best ideas and strategies. Well, now you can. When you listen to the Old Capital Podcast featuring Michael Becker and Paul Peebles, you'll learn from two seasoned pros who funded and syndicated hundreds of millions of dollars in apartments. Each episode is chock full of expert advice, real-world wisdom, and interviews with real-life investors. For details about how you can listen to the Old Capital Podcast, send an email to OCP at realestateguysradio.com. When you do, we'll send you Michael Becker's personal due diligence checklist free of charge. Email your request to OCP, Old Capital Podcast, at realestateguysradio.com.
Hey, this is Peter Schiff, and when you're not listening to me at schiffradio.com, make sure and listen to The Real Estate Guys.
Welcome back to The Real Estate Guys radio program. Thanks for tuning into the show. You can hear us every week on this great radio station all the time at realestateguysradio.com. We're wrapping up our series on profitable real estate niches with arguably the number one niche when it comes to real estate, that's single family houses. Let's meet a woman that knows a thing or two about that. From the beautiful state of Florida, let's say hi to Jean Gillen. How are you, Jean?
I'm fine. Thank you so much for having me on your program.
Absolutely. Well, anyone who spends time around my dad, the godfather of real estate, realizes that one of the things he is just passionate about is that most real estate agents don't understand anything about investment property. You are the exact opposite of that. You only deal with investors. So let's talk about that. As a realtor, what attracted you to investors as your clientele?
Well, I think the thing that really was wonderful about selling to investors is that it's all on a piece of paper. If it's not on a piece of paper and it doesn't work out, don't buy it.
Yeah.
And I always say to people, sometimes it's better not to even go see the house, because if it doesn't work out on a piece of paper, it isn't worth your investment. And sometimes we make mistakes because people fall in love with things. And they walk into a house, they love the kitchen. Well, they're never going to be in that kitchen.
Right.
Or they love, you know, they want to know where this is or that is, and they're never going to be there. You don't have to worry about that. I have one property manager, and she says, everybody needs a house or a home. And so that's, if you want to go in a bad area, she says that's fine, because
everyone needs a home.
Everyone needs a home. And if you want to go in a great area, you got to watch your great areas, because they may not cash flow. So that's a little bit of the problem. I like working with investors because I don't have to go into a house and please the woman or please the man. That gets boring to me. It's more fun to just try to find that great investment for people.
Well, it's such a great point, and it's counterintuitive to see you might be better off to not see the house. But here's the thinking on that. One of the mistakes people make is they get emotionally attached to a property. And because of the very fact that this asset class is something they're used to, they live in a house, they've grown up in a house, they see a house, they can't help but look at it as a house. What you've been able to do is to condition people not think of it as a house. It's a return on investment vehicle. It's a transaction, and certain houses, certain neighborhoods, certain markets make great economic sense and others don't. So you've been working with investors from all over the world, not just the neighborhood. So talk about that. How have you found, you know, investors from other parts of the world? What do they find when they come to America and see opportunity?
Okay, well, most of them I've never met. So I've gone to different parts of the world once or twice, and then I get known, and then they call me up, and their friends call me up, and that's how it really happens. But most I've never known. I've sold at least 6-7 houses of investors this month that never saw their house, and now they're making lots of money selling it. And even investors from other parts of the world can do a 1031 exchange, which I've, you know, that's a really kind of cool thing. But they're here because they can't buy where they live. Other countries, for example, we're the only country in the world that has a fixed mortgage. Think of that. You probably don't even know. I mean, you know what I'm talking about.
Right.
But if you go to England, your mortgage rate will just fluctuate with the economy,
yep.
Right? You go to any place else in the world, you don't get a 30-year fixed mortgage.
Right.
And in investing in single-family houses, it's just a regular mortgage. So, for example, if you invested right now, maybe you would get 4.7%, 5%. Think of that. Now, I'm old. I never saw interest rates like this ever in my life. We used to think 7% was great.
Right.
Now we're talking about 5%. We were talking about 4.5%. But that's for 30 years going forward. That's a pretty amazing thing. We used to worry about prepayment penalties. There's no prepayment penalties anymore.
Right.
So people from other countries come here, and there are loans for foreign investors. Get that one. They have to put 40% down, but it's not horrible, because it's just a regular loan. And when Americans invest, you know, they can get 10 loans that are just normal loans.
Yep.
So I always say to people, if you're married, don't put the loan in both names. You put the loan in one name and then the other one. And then you can get 20 houses.
You can double dip.
20 houses at 5%. Now, if you can't use that money somewhere else and get 6, 7, 8%, get the 5% now. It's really an amazing thing.
Yeah, good stuff. Now, you know, markets are different, and you're in a pretty strong set of markets. You're in Central Florida, so you help folks in Tampa, Jacksonville, Orlando. Talk about the markets and the submarkets. What's making sense? What are you seeing right now as great opportunities?
Okay, first of all, I know people always think of Florida as being an old place, that everybody's 60 years old, you know?
It's the sixth borough, right? It's where everyone goes from New York to retire.
The average age in Central Florida is 37.
Wow.
It's just an amazing thing that's happening, because from Orlando to Tampa, we're calling it Tampa Orlando because all those little cities are filling in. And people say to me, well, who works there? What do they do? Well, Warren Buffett just started a company in Winter Haven. He bought 350 acres, and it's a cargo place where the trains go, where semis go, and they move the cargo around.
Yep.
But things are just happening. Besides that, we have the largest retirement community in the world called the Villages.
Yeah.
And now, you know, Margaritaville is here. They have one in Orlando for fun. But in Daytona, there's a Margaritaville for retirees.
Wow.
And if you have never seen Parrot Heads, you haven't lived. I mean, they really just love it. So anyway, the long and short of it is the millennials are the biggest people that are coming into Central Florida now. And at 29, 30 years old, they finally are going to move out from mom and dad and buy a house. Our average house is about $247,000.
Okay.
That's a four-bedroom, two-bath, 1,800 to 2,200 square feet. Now, you take that same house built by D.R. Horton or built by any national builder,
yeah,
and you stick it in San Diego, it's $1 million, $1.2 million.
Yeah.
Same house. Of course, in San Diego, it's on a smaller lot. So that's the difference. It's very, very affordable. I always say that Florida is cheap and cheerful. Cheap because I can get you houses now. They're $95 a square foot. That's
wow.
kind of crazy.
Wow.
Brand new house, right?
Brand new, okay.
Brand new house, okay. Whereas if you buy a used house, sometimes you don't do as well because it's a used air conditioner, a used roof, a used everything. So right now, and I don't think it's going to last for a long time, you can get brand new houses somewhere in Central Florida. And this is an interesting thing. We just surpassed New York in population. So it's California, Texas, Florida, and then New York.
All right.
So because everybody's moving here. Now remember, when they sell their houses up north, so in New York, and they live in a 3-2, 1,200 square foot house, and they get $600,000, and they come down here to buy a house, now they've retired, they go to the Villages and pay $180,000 for a 3-2, and it's 1,800 square feet.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful place to live. For example, in our retirement areas like the Villages, you start out in a house, then they have all of the different phases of taking care of people.
Yes.
And it's very nice because I've visited people there and, you know, their wife might be now in, you know, some kind of a home, and but it takes you right through. And I visited this one family. The kids even live there because the kids were 65 or 60,
yeah,
and now the parents are there. So it's very nice. And the young people, now we have the largest university, second largest university in the United States, right, which is University of Central Florida. And the way they did that, they have so much more land to go. And now they're building there a retirement village for anybody that went to UCF. You can buy your thing or rent it and you can stay there. You know how crazy some people are about where they went to school.
Right.
So that's basically it. And a lot of, we have a great governor who has really encouraged new people to come to Florida. Why? Businesses, like we have Verizon, we have all these big businesses coming. We're number one in aerospace. I don't know if you know that. We have a Navy base in the middle of Orlando. There's no water,
wow,
but it's a simulation,
yep,
you know, and they have a simulation. There's so many good things that are going on in Central Florida. And I can only say that our average temperature is 75. That's pretty cool, right?
There you go. You know? That's pretty nice. Now let's talk about this angle of it. You know, you mentioned that there are new homes that are available that make sense.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's not true everywhere in the country. A lot of places where new home builders go in, they're kind of at the top of the market. They're definitely building for the owner-occupant, not houses that make sense from a rental perspective. But talk about what the metrics look like. What would a typical 3-2 cost, and what might it rent for in some of the areas that you help investors with?
Okay, so first of all, I encourage people to buy a 4-2. Why? These kids aren't like we were. You know, we'd have a three-bedroom, two-bath, 1,500, eight. We thought we were living. These kids, they like them big, right?
Yeah.
And they have four bedrooms because they normally have two children and they want to have an office or whatever.
Yep.
A lot of people work at home now. They don't go and get in the car and drive places. Everybody has their home office, even project managers and everything. It's amazing what goes on. And we all know that we've been on computers and we've had groups on computer and all that. It's great. But we always say, I always encourage the 4-2.
Okay.
Okay. And, you know, somewhere between 1,500 and 2,200 square feet. You don't really need to go any bigger. But what happened is that we're a state where it's very difficult to foreclose on people.
Right.
But when we went down in the market in 2008, 2009, 2010, people that had those loans that, as you said, escalate, they just gave their keys and went away.
Yep.
Okay. And those areas really were in bad shape. So we bought those houses then for $40 a square foot. And they were probably 5 or 6 years old.
Yep.
So now I'm selling those ones that I sold to my customers for $40 a square foot for $100 a square foot.
Yeah.
And now they're moving into the some other newer areas that we have great appreciation. It says, all the studies are saying that by 2021, Central Florida will appreciate 35%.
Wow.
The reason why is we're still under, we're the lowest, we're on 22% lower than any other part of the United States.
Yeah.
So it's a great, we have appreciation and we have cash flow. We don't have great cash flow. If you make $300-$400 a month on a $200,000 house that you put 25% down. And I always tell people to put 25% down because that's the sweet point for your mortgage percentage. So
okay,
that works really well. So you put your 25% down and you have a renter in, you know, somewhere between $1,600 to $2,000. One thing else is that's very important about when you buy a house, no matter where you buy in the United States, there are better months to rent your house than others. And that's like May till August,
yeah,
end of August. And the reason is people don't move, you know, in December before Christmas. They
right,
just don't do that.
Right. Mm-hmm. Good point. Now, let's talk about the fact that the job growth you talked about is great for people coming here and buying homes and so forth, but not everyone can afford to buy a home. Not everyone's ready to make that commitment. They may be coming here to take a job with one of these companies or hospitals or theme parks, and they're not sure they're going to stay here, so they make great renters. And so you've got the service industry that's around all these industries that are in Central Florida, and those are the kinds of tenants. So talk about who the tenant base is, because a lot of the houses you sell are going to rent for $1,600, $2,000, $2,400 a month. Who are those tenants?
Well, when we had this downturn, a lot of people lost their homes. Those are some of the people. It's
okay,
a huge amount of people.
Yeah.
It's not that they didn't make money, and it's not that they don't have good jobs. It's just that when that interest rate did what it did, they couldn't afford those houses. And not only that, they got scared. Nobody helped them out. Nobody explained to them what was going to happen in their life.
Right. And their credit got decimated and all that.
Yep. And a lot of them will never buy again. You know, I was 37% of all the people in the United States rent.
Yeah.
That's a huge amount of people.
And higher than it's been, right?
Right. And 35% of those people rent single family homes that are owned by people like us that are investors. And that's why we get such great incentives on our taxes, because the government doesn't want to do that. They don't want to house these people.
Right.
So now these are just normal people. They could be school teachers. They could work in hospitals. I rented a house to a doctor because it was a new hospital and he didn't want to buy a house for the first 2 years.
Sure.
We have Siemens, Lockheed Martin. We've got them all over. Those people come from Germany. They come from Italy. They come from everywhere. They stay maybe 18 months, 2 years. But the normal person is just a regular family. I had a guy that bought a house in me, oh, I don't know, about 12 years ago. And a renter went in. 11 years that renter stayed.
Wow.
Okay. And I just heard of another one, like 14 years. Sometimes these people forget it's not their house.
Yeah.
And they just stay there. They don't want to take care of it. Some people just like to call up and say the light bulb's out. That's basically it. And the other thing is that young people today, now I have two sons, and my one son is a CPA. And he went to University of Central Florida, and he kept buying houses and moving around because he didn't know where he wanted to be. So he'd buy them, he'd rent it, buy it and rent it. But you know, who was helping him buy them, you know? Okay. So, but in any way, what he used to say to me is, a lot of people in my company don't buy, Mom. They just rent because they don't know where they're going to land, right? That's the kind of person. It could be an executive. It could be a nurse. Just the normal people that we all see. And the average age is 37. So if you're going to be in that area, you're going to have a young family. You really are, unless you go to the retirement areas. And there's retired people all over, you know. But the ones that live in the villages, I mean, we have over 325,000
wow,
in the villages.
That's a bunch.
Yeah.
We're talking today about single-family homes as a profitable niche in real estate. We'll talk more with Gene when we come back, and we'll play real estate trivia next. You're tuned to the Real Estate Guys radio program. I'm your host, Robert Helms.
Live nationwide, you're listening to the Real Estate Guys. Find out more at realestateguysradio.com.
Have you decided to invest in real estate but find you don't have the time to evaluate your options? Successful real estate investing takes expertise, market knowledge, and time. Many affluent investors with busy schedules choose to rely on real estate experts. They partner with proven teams with a successful track record. Four Peaks Capital Partners have created a system which allows accredited investors an opportunity to invest in undervalued assets. If you're an accredited investor looking for passive income, call 877-5-INCOME. That's 877-5-INCOME or visit privateincomeinvestments.com.
Are you ready to profit in paradise? Hi, it's Robert Helms, and if you think real estate investing means tenants, toilets, and termites, think again. Located just a short plane ride from the U.S., a virtually untouched paradise awaits, the beautiful country of Belize. When you go to Belize with the Real Estate Guys, you'll spend four fabulous days discovering one of the most intriguing real estate markets I've ever seen. With its jungle rainforests, pristine beaches, and 81-degree turquoise water, Belize is one of the most beautiful places on Earth. Plus, it's considered one of the top seven tax havens in the world. Belize property is on the rise, and many experts think the best is yet to come. But don't just take my word for it. Come experience Belize firsthand at our upcoming investor field trip. When you join us, you'll discover the many reasons we love Belize, like tremendously undervalued beachfront land, super low taxes, ease of doing business, and so much more. Get the details at realestateguysradio.com. Just click on events. See paradise for yourself. Click events at realestateguysradio.com, and I'll see you in beautiful Belize.
Hi, this is Kevin Harrington, an original shark from the hit TV show Shark Tank, and you're listening to The Real Estate Guys.
Welcome back to The Real Estate Guys radio show. Thanks for tuning into the show. Hope you're enjoying it. We're wrapping up our series on profitable niches with single-family homes, arguably one of the bread-and-butter products when it comes to real estate investing. Before we get back to our interview with long-term broker Gene Gillen, it's time to play real estate trivia. That's your chance to win a prize by knowing today's real estate trivia question, which is going to have something to do with houses. As soon as you hear the question and think you know the answer, fire off your best guess to trivia at realestateguysradio.com. Include your name, the answer to the question, and your mailing address, because if you're the first one to do so correctly, you're going to win a great book called Life Defining Moments from Bold Thought Leaders, a collection of inspiring stories. You're going to dig it. That can be yours if you know today's real estate trivia question. Last week, our profitable niche was agriculture. We had David Sewell on the program. We asked this: what part of the world grows the most cacao, the most cocoa beans? Well, more than 70% of cocoa beans come from West Africa, and the most are from the Ivory Coast. Here's our real estate trivia question for this week. We're talking single-family houses. How many greenhouses come with a standard version of the game Monopoly? There's lots of versions, there's lots of additions, but a standard version, even today, has a certain number of little greenhouses. How many? Obviously, you can guess. Maybe you know. Maybe you're going to go pull out the box and count. But either way, get your answer quickly to us by sending an email to trivia@realestateguysradio.com. Include your name, the number of houses that come with Monopoly, and your mailing address, so that if you're the winner, we can send you Life-Defining Moments from Bold Thought Leaders. That's today's real estate trivia question. We're talking profitable niches and ending our series on profitable niches today, actually, with single-family homes. Gene Gillen's with us, and she's a real estate broker, an investor who has helped folks for a long time buy properties. And, you know, it's interesting, Gene, when you've been in the investment property business a long time, they make different decisions, investors, than homeowners. And we talked earlier about that being part of the attraction. Hey, it's got to make sense on paper. But the other interesting thing is that a single-family homeowner is generally going to have one, maybe two homes at a time that they live in, but an investor isn't limited. So thinking about someone who wants to acquire a deeper portfolio, you're in a lot of different areas. What's the differences between the places that you work? Because you cover a fairly large geographic area. I mean, Florida's big, but you're in different markets for different reasons.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's interesting. A lot of people will say to me they want to be near the university. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's a very good niche. But university kids are not normally, you know, the best kind of people that you really want to rent to.
Well, and they're probably going to stay for, you know, 4 or 5 years.
Right, yeah. So that's number one. So let's start in Tampa and go over. Yeah. So if you go in north of Tampa, there are quite a few, like Spring Hill. That's just a family area. You go a little bit further to Hudson. I had such a beautiful place up there. But that's more of a retirement area.
Okay.
The houses are a little bit bigger. And but they're retirement people. So then you go south and you go to Clearwater. you really wouldn't get a house in Clearwater. Clearwater is the beach is the number one beach in the United States, and it is really beautiful. You see a lot of Europeans visit there. So there you're going to buy a duplex or a quad, something like that.
Yep.
And then if you come this way, there's lots of little towns like Riverview, Zephyr Hills, Wesley Chapel. Those are all just the 35 to 42-year-old people, right?
Yep.
And they have families, and they drive somewhere. But people always say to me, well, how far is it from Tampa? Nobody goes to Tampa unless you're going to go see, you know, a hockey game, or you're going to go to the beach, or you're going to go to for some kind of a symphony thing.
Yep.
People don't do that because it's much cheaper for all these developments outside. Like a lot of the new companies that come in, they're all around. They are all around. They're not there. So then if we come over, we have Lakeland. Now, Lakeland isn't a place we can really invest. It's too expensive, and the rents aren't as high as they could be. But Winter Haven is fabulous. Now, that's where Legoland is, Cypress Gardens. That's where FedEx has their headquarters. That's where Warren Buffett got his thing. I mean, you can go on and on who's doing that. And we have a lot of land here. So all those little towns are great. There are towns I don't do, and I wouldn't push anybody towards them. But we have, if you just come down the I-4 corridor, there's one town after another town. It depends on what you're looking for. But most of these are younger families.
Yeah.
Yeah, they are younger families. And then you come into Orlando, you can't buy anything in Orlando. You know why? It's really interesting. The prices are high. Going to pay $300,000 or $350,000 for that $200,000 house in Spring Hill or anything. And the rents aren't as high. I have no idea why it works that way, but it does work that way. We try to buy a house that people go, I don't want anything with a HOA. We try to go have a house that has like a $25 or $40 HOA.
Right.
Why? The HOA makes it necessary that somebody doesn't paint their house pink, purple, and orange all at once, right?
Yeah.
And also, you have to have anybody that's living in that house has to have the same last name or some way be connected. So you can't do something that, have like five families live in there.
Okay.
So that's really important. And if you go towards Cape Canaveral, we have Titusville, Cocoa Beach. North, we have Deltona, Daytona, DeLand. You know, it's just one little town after another. And it used to be that there'd be big spaces, but now there's not big spaces anymore.
It's all filling in. That's part of what we call the clue, right? So demand continues to be strong. And obviously, to meet that demand, you do have new construction. Now, as a broker, you certainly represent people that want to buy a resale rental home. But talk about how you work with the builders and what that inventory looks like.
Okay. Well, right now, I'm pushing towards things that are done now, June, July.
Right.
Okay. Otherwise, if you put money down on a house and you're going to wait 7 months, you're going to come up in February or March. And I don't want anybody to try to rent in February, March. Typically, people that rent will rent after April 15th, after they get their little tax return back or something like that. But that part does not work. Mid-January to April 15th. That's hard.
Yeah.
And of course, December, the end of December, sometimes you'll get people. But if you buy a house and you're going to rent it and you come up and all of a sudden it's October, right? And our houses, I said that, used to say 45 days to rental. It's just rents very, very quickly now.
Okay. Today,
because we have so many people coming here, growing at like 8% this year. What's interesting is that you have to know that if you start at a bad time, make your contract for longer so that you end up in May.
Good point.
Mm-hmm.
Right. If you did end up closing in January and renting in February, make it expire in May so you have a good strategic time to rent the house. Now, when it comes to new houses, are there generally builder's warranties and those kinds of things that are offered?
Okay. In the state of Florida, and this is why I say to people, find out how long the builder's been in business. Because we have, by law in Florida, it's 10 years for structural, okay?
Wow.
It's 1 year for some things, 2 years for other things, but the whole structure, for example, D.R. Horton, if you get a crack in your house, if you still own that house, which is unusual because most people
have
get rid of them
then,
after
right,
five or 6 years, that's the people of their owner-occupants. But as an investor, you want to keep that house till somebody pays it off for you,
yep.
right? So your structural warranty. So you don't want a builder that just decided he's going to be a builder because we had a shortage in houses. We actually have a shortage in houses. We have shortage in hotel rooms. We have a shortage in everything here.
Yeah.
So, you know, 74 million people came here last year. But people want to live here. There's a lot of reasons why. We have no state income tax. We talked about that. We're a homestead state.
Right.
Well, and I would say that's why O.J. Simpson came here and bought his house, because you can put $1 million in a house, and as long as you pay your taxes and your HOA, nobody can ever touch it.
Right.
So that's a pretty important thing. And it's 100% homestead. You know, some have little or whatever. We're very landlord friendly. My son owns a management company. He has about 1,000 houses, and he's probably never had maybe one or two evictions.
Wow.
Because if somebody's a problem, you go and you talk to them and you get them out, because nobody wants to wait a long time. But in Florida, it's 27 days, so it's not a big deal.
Yeah, very, very landlord friendly.
Yeah.
And let's talk about the management side, because that's another issue that you have, is you've got to find a good property management company. So how does that look? You have an investor that comes in, they find a house, you help them buy. Then what's the management component like?
Okay, so I have a couple of management companies. And so I ask people to sit down and talk to all of them, okay? Because, you know, some people get along with some people and some people don't get along with the other person. And if you feel that you can get along with the person, then it's going to make your life much easier.
Sure.
But both of them, the two that I mainly have, everything's online. The renter can pay online. You can see if the renter paid. You can see what's coming out, what's going in. They pay your HOA for you. They will pay your taxes for you. They do everything for you. It's very, very passive. And that's the only reason. I mean, we're not going to be able to buy new houses for very much longer. But new houses are nice because it's a new refrigerator, it's a new roof, it's a new air conditioner, it's a new everything. So you know you have pretty well for the first 5 years, you shouldn't have too many problems, okay?
Yeah.
God forbid you have a bad renter, which, you know what, everybody has to get in their noodle that you may one day have a bad renter.
Sure,
you know, it's not the end of the world.
But again, being in a place that is landlord-friendly, that certainly helps, having good management. And the fact that there's multiple managers in the marketplace is good, too. So knowing what you now know, right, you've helped a lot of investors over the years here, and the market feels good right now. You've got someone who's thinking, well, maybe Florida may make sense for me, and maybe I'm a newer investor. What are some of the lessons learned, some things you might share with folks that are thinking about investing in single-family homes?
Well, I would say that you have to go where the piece of paper says that you're going to make money.
Right.
Cash flow is very important. And, you know, when you consider that if you buy something for $200,000, you're going to make $300 a month, okay? You just have to say it's going to be $300. On a piece of paper, it might look like $400, but something happens or something goes wrong, and it's going to be $300. And that's not so bad, really, when you think about it. So it's $3,600 a year, but cash on cash. Now, remember, you're only putting 25% down.
Right.
So it's a little bit of a different calculation you have to say to people. Well, you know, I only make $3,600 and it was a $200,000 house. No, you didn't. The bank has the rest of it.
Yes, exactly.
But I would say that you have to like your property manager. You have to stay in touch with your realtor. Why? So, for example, if I sell something to somebody, it could be a single family house, it could be a luxury apartment, it could be a lifestyle investment. Nobody's going to be able to go back to that developer or wherever we got that, except me.
Right.
The property manager isn't going to go fight with the developer. Not going to happen. They don't have time. And they didn't sell it to you. So you have to stay with your realtor and stay with that person. And if you have a problem, just call that realtor up and say, I'm having a problem with my property manager, and then explain it. I mean, half the time when they explain what their problem is, I'll say, that's not a problem.
Right.
If I was just starting out, I'd start out with those single family homes really quickly and with the great loans that we have, because who knows where this interest rate's going to go.
Now, Gene has put together a presentation that talks about some of the things we've covered today. What's going to be in that presentation, Gene?
Well, my presentation really is just about Central Florida.
Yep.
And telling you why Central Florida, who lives here, where they work, what they do, and it'll show you cash flows for different properties.
Yep.
Everything goes very quickly. I have a lot of investors that like multifamilies also. So I do multifamilies. But multifamilies, you can buy with a regular loan. That's something. I have one investor that will only wants to have four. He wants to have 40 doors, and he's going to do it with 10 loans.
Okay.
Yeah, because he's going to buy 10 quads. Yeah. But they're not. You have to remember, when you have four renters in there, you have four refrigerators, four stoves, four of everything.
Yeah.
So you have to have a really good property manager, and then it won't matter to you at all.
All right, good stuff. Hey, if you want a copy of Gene's presentation, all you have to do is send an email to centralflorida@realestateguysradio.com, because she works a variety of markets, and she has help to do that too. So she's got a great broker network here, centralflorida@realestateguysradio.com. Gene, it's been a great conversation. Thanks for your wisdom, and thanks for helping investors get into real estate.
Thank you.
You're tuned to the Real Estate Guys radio program. More when we come back. I'm your host, Robert Helms.
Need help with your real estate investment portfolio? Check out the resources page at realestateguysradio.com.
This portion of the Real Estate Guys radio program is brought to you by International Coffee Farms, where you can own a parcel of land in your very own specialty coffee farm in Panama for as little as $15,000. Here's how it works. Deeded half-acre parcels entitled Specialty Coffee Farms in Boquete, Panama are turnkey managed professionally on your behalf by a team of local experts. Sustainable average income is estimated at 12%, and cash flow can begin within 12 to 15 months from the date of your parcel ownership. International Coffee Farms' mission is to own and operate specialty coffee farms that are economically, environmentally, and socially sustainable. As part of this mission, 20% of the gross profits of each farm is committed to a socially sustainable fund to improve the lives of the Panamanian coffee farm workers and their families. International Coffee Farms currently owns and operates 9 specialty coffee farms with half-acre parcels available for immediate ownership. To find out how you can become a coffee farm owner in Boquete, Panama, email coffee@realestateguysradio.com. That's coffee@realestateguysradio.com.
Hi, this is Patrick Donahoe, CEO of Paradigm Life. Wall Street and banks spend billions of dollars per year in advertising with the goal to convince you that they are the solution. But take a look around. None of their advice has worked. If you're listening to this, odds are pretty good that you're already a real estate investor, or at least becoming one. So why do you do it? Is it to hedge inflation, the tax benefits, or maybe it's to get your money away from Wall Street? It's because of these benefits and so many more that I created the Real Estate Investor's Guide to the Perpetual Wealth Strategy. When you combine successful real estate investing with the Perpetual Wealth Strategy, you have the recipe for what has helped the wealthy to establish their financial well-being for decades. You can download the Real Estate Investor's Guide to the Perpetual Wealth Strategy today by clicking the Resources tab on the Real Estate Guys Radio homepage. Don't wait, go download it now.
Hi, this is Mauricio Raul, founder and CEO of Mir Law Group, and you're listening to The Real Estate Guys.
Welcome back to The Real Estate Guys radio program. Thanks for tuning into the show. It's Profitable Niches, and wrapping up this long series of different niches that we've been talking about with single family homes. And what a firecracker, that Jean.
She is. You know, as I was listening to all of that, and I just listened to her depth of knowledge, her street smarts, you know, just having been doing it a long, long time, that she walks the talk. She actually is in the business. You know, it's not like, oh, I sell investment property, but I'm a landlord. I'm an investor. So you can hear all of that in her, what you'd call her music and her energy and her tactical knowledge. And I think this really brings up a bigger point. Whether you're interested in Central Florida or not, it's not even the point. I think listening to an interview like that, you realize that that's the kind of real estate agent you want to have on your team.
Right.
You want to have somebody who's in the market with the same eyes you have. They know what it's like to be you because they are you. They're having to deal with tenants. They're having to make decisions about neighborhoods and property types and rehab and all of the decisions you're going to have to make. And they're in it for the long haul. The one thing that I found, because when I went into the mortgage business, I decided I only wanted to work with investors. And
right.
The reason I wanted to do that is I just went out and I looked at the stats. And statistically, someone was going to redo their mortgage every 5 to 7 years. Somebody was going to move maybe every 5 or 7 years. I thought to myself, well, that's a lot of work to acquire a client who's only going to do a deal with you maybe once every 5 or 7 years.
Yep.
Whereas if I could go work with an active investor, they might do 5 or 7 deals a year. But the thing is, when you expect somebody to come back and do business with you over and over and over again, you behave differently. So my point of that is that when you're doing business with an investment property specialist, somebody who that's what they do, they have a very different mindset than somebody who is thinking turn and burn. And again, I'm not trying to disparage the people that you call house mouses, the people who do houses, but I'm just saying as a business person, you look at your clientele a little bit differently when there's going to be a high level of repetition. It's the same thing. You know, we talked a few weeks back about resort property and lifestyle investing. And, you know, a hotel property manager has a very different way they look at a client than the way a property manager who's signing a 6 month or 1 year or 2 year lease looks at them. They're both customers and they're both trying to give good customer service, but the level of care, the attention to detail is much higher when there's more turn. And I think that I don't want people to miss that, because who you put on your team and when you go into a market has got to be somebody who really knows the market, who knows what it's like to be you and is devoted to you in a way that's different than somebody who's looking at your relationship as, hey, just two ships passing in the night.
Well, and what I like about Jean, which is pretty rare, is that she covers a pretty big geographic area because she's only looking for properties that make sense for investors. So yeah, Central Florida is huge. And you heard, I mean, everything from Tampa to Jacksonville to Orlando, big, big geographic area. But she's not working every neighborhood. I mean, it's great how she went through the list. Oh, we don't buy there. We don't buy here. There's places I would avoid. And here's why. To your point, you want a person that has that level of knowledge in whatever single family market you go into. Because for single family homes, the market makes the investment, not the house. You know, when we were talking before the interview and she brought it up during the interview, this idea, you know, really, I think investors can be more successful if they never see the house. That's a paradigm breaker for me even. I'm like, I always want to have eyes on the property, kick the dirt, as we like to say. But I get her point. Don't get attached to the physicality of the house. Make sure the numbers work.
Yeah. Well, and again, it goes back to the idea of understanding the right mindset, right? Somebody who's used to selling the house, selling the view. See, I mean, if you go talk to a regular real estate agent, as a real estate investor, and let them know you're looking for investment, and they focus their attention on the flooring or which way the backyard faces, they're talking to you like you're a home buyer. And that's because in their mind, a customer is a home buyer. Again, nothing wrong with that. If you're going to buy a home, you want somebody who thinks that way. But when you're going to buy an investment property, you have to have somebody who thinks like an investor. And the minute she opened her mouth and said that, I'm like, she gets it. She totally gets it. Don't fall in love with the property. Make sure the numbers make sense. And when you look at the property, you want to make sure that it's got good bones and the amenities attract revenue. There's a lot of amenities you can put in a property that don't attract additional revenue. The ROI on that amenity is low. And just because you wouldn't live in the house doesn't mean that a tenant wouldn't if it, you know, didn't have a particular amenity. And I've seen so many rookie investors pour too much CapEx, too much capital expenditure into a property to make it like a home, like they would want to live in, only to rent it to somebody who doesn't treat it the way they would treat it.
Right.
It's just a bad investment. And again, I'm not saying that even A tenants still don't necessarily treat the house completely as though it's their house.
And you have to understand that as a single family investor, they're never going to look at it the way you look at it, and that's okay. What you're buying is an asset that's going to create two things, cash flow monthly and equity value over time. And as soon as you pick the right property in the right market that matches your personal investment philosophy, it can be a great way to make money. And it's one of the many profitable niches. So big thanks to Jean. If you're interested in Central Florida, just send an email to centralflorida@realestateguysradio.com. You get Jean's presentation and she'll cover a lot of the metrics and things about the area, why it makes sense. And if you're interested in those markets she mentioned, then you'll also get her contact details. But a big thanks to all the folks that have shared these profitable niches with us over the last many weeks. Next week on The Real Estate Guys, we're back to Ask the Guys. We haven't done an Ask the Guys show in a while. We're overdue. So if you have a question for The Real Estate Guys, quickly fire it off. Just go to the website at realestateguysradio.com and click Ask the Guys. We can't answer them all, but we'll answer a bunch of them next week on The Real Estate Guys radio program. Until then, go out and make some equity happen.
This episode of The Real Estate Guys radio show is brought to you by Paradigm Life. Powerful cash management strategies using life insurance. Learn more at beyourbank.com. Mid-South Home Buyers, low-cost, turnkey cash flow properties in Memphis, Tennessee. Corporate Direct, asset protection strategies for real estate investors from attorney and rich dad advisor Garrett Sutton. Find these and other great companies under the Resources tab at realestateguysradio.com. To learn how you can expose your product or service to the Real Estate Guys audience, call 888-489-7723, extension 4. That's 888-489-7723, extension 4. Or use the feedback page at realestateguysradio.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week right here on the Real Estate Guys Radio Show.